Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. You know, you can learn how to be a failure. And your environment plays a giant part in that. It, you know, if you're around people that's always talking fear and unbelief and can't do this and can't do that and it's impossible, and that's just how you think. And if you think that way and believe that way and talk that way, that's what you'll have. And it's not because God chose it for you. He gave us a free will, what we could believe, what we can say. But the good news is, you can change. And if you'll change what you're listening to and what you're watching and what you're, who you're around and the influences, that's why you need to be in a good church. You need to be around believers and especially people that have a stronger faith and a greater vision than you do. You need something that inspires you and stirs you and pulls you up. Then it can be so radically different from how it has been in the past. I mean, your life can go on a completely different trajectory if you put the Lord first. So let's make a confession today. Everybody said out loud, I confess.
I confess.
Jesus.
Jesus.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
As my Savior.
As my Savior.
As my Redeemer.
As my Redeemer.
I am not my own Lord.
I don't control my own life.
I submit myself
to the headship
and the lordship
of Jesus.
And His will for me
is a good will.
It's a good plan.
It's a good life.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. That's what we've been talking about these days on our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And what we have come to see and believe strongly to be fully convinced of is that abundant provision is always God's will for all of us. No exceptions. Poverty and lack is not the will of God. Never has been, never will be. And there's so many truths in the Word that reveal that. It's why we can be so sure and not doubt it. We began with reason number one, giving one by one 30 reasons why we're sure of this. Number one was, the Lord's my shepherd. Because of that, I shall not want, shall not lack. We looked at the goodness of God, the fatherhood of God, the creation of God, God's will in heaven. We talked about the God of Abraham, talked about the blessing of Abraham on the seed of Abraham. We talked about the blessing of tithing. We talked about honoring God, and He said, I'll honor you, and how that involves material things as well. We talked about walking in the wisdom of God. You know, just eliminating the waste will prosper you, right? Just stopping doing stupid stuff will help your life immensely, right?
Yes.
You didn't buy the wrong thing. You didn't invest in the wrong thing and lose money. You didn't go in agreement with people that you shouldn't have been involved with and lose. Just stopping the losses, right?
Yes.
Greatly improve your situation materially and financially. Well, that's the wisdom of God that helps that. I talked about being an imitator of God, talked about the great I am. We talked about the names of God, the God of restoration, how He provided so amazingly in the wilderness. And so that's 15 of the 30 reasons. If you haven't been with us, go online, go to faithschool.org. And all of these previous lessons are there, even in some other languages. If English is not your first language, it might be there in your language. Or if you have family or friends in another country that speak another language, it may be there for them. Take advantage of it. No cost, no charge. Our partners have underwritten it, and the Lord has given it as a free gift. Take it and use it, send it. And we're up today to number 16 in our study, and it is the promised land. The promised land. When God made covenant with his friend Abraham, he told him that hundreds of years from then, that he was going to give all the lands that he had seen. It was actually seven different nations occupying them. But he said he was going to give all that land to his descendants. Now, if you might say, well, yeah, but there were people already there. Yeah, and they had centuries to stop their sinning and to stop their blasphemies and to stop their rebellion against God. And when they would not, he kicked them out of it and gave it to somebody else. And he is righteous to do so. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
He's righteous to do so. In fact, the reason it didn't happen earlier is because the Lord said that the fullness of their sin and judgment hadn't happened yet. Oh, the mercy of God. I said, the mercy of God. And we need to realize, you talk about evil. These people were doing evil stuff. Now, they worshiped the Baals and all these other gods. And part of their ritual sacrifice was human sacrifice. They burned children, babies. They did unspeakable stuff. And God put up with that for centuries. How long would you put up with it? You know what I'm saying? And so there came a point where this is what the way he described it. He said the land itself vomited them out. And he warned Israel, don't pick up their practices. Right? Because same thing will happen to you. He said the land itself got sick of them and puked them out. Is that amazing or what?
Yes.
These things are real, whether you believe it or not, still true, still real. But God was righteous in his plan, and so he said, I'm giving it to your descendants. And he said, it was the glory of all lands. He said, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. It is a pleasant land. It is a good land. And that's what we've been talking about. A land where there is no scarceness, no lack, no want of anything in the earth. That used to be what God liked. No lack. No want, right?
Yes.
Abundance. Plenty of every good thing. He used to really like that.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Nothing.
When did he change?
He did it.
People changed. Right? People changed. Religions changed. God did not change. And he never will. He is a good God.
Yes.
He does good things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And like 1 John says, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Well, evil things are works of darkness. And there is absolutely no evil in God. There is no darkness in him. There is no bad in him. The scripture says he is good and he does good.
Amen.
Believing that will change your life.
Yes.
Now, like we said before, a lot of church-going people would immediately say, if you ask them, is God good? They'll go, oh, yeah, 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 God is good. But if you listen to them, even probably the rest of the day, you'll find out they don't fully believe that. They believe other things. They believe God has a dark side. They believe he has a bad side. They believe he uses bad things to accomplish good things. And a lot of people believe that. And that means if good is not in him and good is not from him, that means he's borrowing bad stuff from the devil. Right? To accomplish some of the thing. Listen to this now. People say, well, all's well that ends well. Not a scripture. Not a scripture. Right? And you'll hear this. Well, the ends justifies the means. Also not a scripture. And not true. And not right. with God, if it turns out okay, that does not mean he's okay with what happened before and how it got there. No, sir, no, ma'am. You know, example of this is when he told Moses to speak to the rock and not strike the rock that second time. And Moses got mad and he said, hey, you bunch of rebels, are we going to have to bring water out of this? What's this we going to bring water? there's a lot wrong with this. And so he smacked it with the rock. Water came out and quenched everybody's thirst. Well, all's well that ends well. He missed getting to see the promised land because he did not sanctify the Lord before the eyes of the people. And so, no, it's not true. The ends does not justify the means, not with God. And so he would never use evil to eventually accomplish good. The reason there is evil is because of defiance, because of rebellion. To say that the product of the evil is okay and usable is to say the sin, the defiance, the disobedience, the rebellion is okay with God. Well, if it's really okay with him and he's using disobedience and evil to accomplish a good, higher purpose, then I shouldn't be held accountable for doing bad stuff. Because I don't know the difference between good and bad anyway. Right? No, this is junk. This is wrong. No, there's good and there's bad. They're not working together. They don't become each other. And there's no such thing as an evil thing that is actually a blessing in disguise. This is a lie. This is deception. Don't fall for it. And all the people said, amen. All right. go with me, if you would, to Numbers again, the 13th chapter. We looked at this on yesterday's class. And what we saw is that God got his people out of Egyptian bondage and through a number of things. And now they are at the border of the land that flowed with milk and honey, at the promised land. And they're supposed to go in, possess it, and enjoy it the rest of their life. Houses full of all good things, right? Yes. Vineyards, orchards, flocks, herds. I mean, and you got to remember, these people were what? Fourth, fifth, sixth generation slave, right? And to go from that to being a plantation and a ranch owner. And hey, can God bring you a long ways in a short amount of time? He can. And it's his will. He delights in it because he's a good God. And he had told them repeatedly, we saw some of these verses earlier, that it was a good land. Don't let this be too simple for you now. Everybody say, a good land. He said, he described it for him. We read some of the verses. He said he watched over it the whole year. He saw that it was rained on. He saw that it was kept and blessed and protected, and how that they would be able to have great wheat crops and figs and pomegranates and olive oil and all these things. He kept saying, it's good, it's good, it's good. Well, the 12 spies went and searched out the land. And when they came back, verse 26, they came to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel, to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, brought back word to them. Now, another translation of that, they brought back a report of their expedition, what they saw, what they heard, to the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land, which was extraordinary. The cluster of grapes that it took two men to carry on a staff, on a pole, everything confirming what God had told them, which was, it's a good land. They told him, they said, we came to the land which you sent us, verse 27, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit or you might say the evidence, the proof of it. Now you got to remember, up until now, they've only ever heard about it. They hadn't seen it. You couldn't Google it. Right? Not back then. There were no pictures, nothing. They had only heard words. But they heard words from God, right? About how nice it was, how good it was. What should have been their response in hearing when God says, I got something good for you. I have searched it out. I have picked it out. And he just keeps giving you description about how good it is. What should be your response? It should be excitement, right?
Yes.
It should be excitement if you believe it,
right.
Right?
Right?
If you go, well, we'll see. What does that mean? You don't believe it yet. You're waiting until you see something or for yourself, and then you're going to decide if what God told you is true or not. There's no faith in that. But what God would wanted to see out of his people was a genuine excitement and a preparation in anticipation, right?
Yeah.
They never owned a house. They never owned a place. They never owned their own herds or flocks or anything like this. This is a dream, right? This is a dream. And this is God's idea. This is his plan. This is his will. Every night around the campfires on their way through the wilderness, they should be talking to each other. What are you going to do in your plantation? What are you going to do at your ranch? What kind of cattle are you going to run on your place? You know, I'm thinking about running some Herefords on my place. What are you going to run? Oh, Black Angus. That's a good one. That's a good one. Right? What kind of crops? Oh, I'm gonna plant me some corn. Yeah. I'm gonna plant me like 80 acres of corn, yeah. And I'm gonna put me some beans over here, and I'm gonna put me some okra and some tomatoes. And should you be excited? See, that's what faith does. Faith prepares.
Amen.
Faith gets ready for the fulfillment of God's word. Unbelief says, "We'll just wait and see if we need to get ready for it." Can you see? And this, friend, this is not just nothing stuff. This determines whether you actually get to enjoy it or not. And so they showed them. And they said, well, here it is. Just like God said. We saw it. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Look at the grapes. Nevertheless, here's where it all went wrong. But the people are strong that dwell in the land. Well, God didn't say they weren't. Huh? You might say, well, God didn't say anything about that. Yeah, he knew you'd freak out before you ever got there. Right? He's merciful. He's helping you out. And the cities are walled and very great. I mean, these are not just a bunch of people camping down in tents. I mean, these are fortified cities, and they are walled up to the sky. In other words, how could we ever get in? How could it ever be ours? And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and these were the descendants of the giants. And the Amalekites are in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. In other words, there's people everywhere over there. And they're armed. And they're big. And they're well entrenched. And they're well fortified. And Caleb heard that for a little bit. And he said, wait. Shh, hold on now. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I like this. Hallelujah. This is how faith thinks. This is how faith talks. This is how faith acts. He saw what they saw. He saw the walls. He saw the giants. He saw all that. But faith doesn't walk by sight. Faith sees more than what the eyes see. Right? Faith discerns more than what the senses discern. What was bigger to him than all of that was the fact that God had already said, I'm giving it to you.
Amen.
It's yours. It's your, in fact, as far as he was concerned, it's already ours. We just got to go pick it up.
Amen.
That's faith. Did you know healing's already yours?
Yes.
You just got to pick it up.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit's already yours.
Amen.
Authority's already yours.
Yes.
Come on, did you know?
Yes.
And abundant provision is already ours.
Amen.
But it takes some faith to possess it, to walk it out. And the enemy will try to oppose you. He'll try to resist you. He'll try to wear you down. He'll try to wear you out. And that's where faith comes in. He said, let's go up. At once means right now. He said, come on, go get your gear. What are you waiting on? I'm telling you, we just came from over there. This place is wonderful. This is amazing. Come on, let's go get our place. Let's go get our place. We could be moved in by the end of the month. Come on. Now, I know I'm elaborating a little bit, but faith is excited. Huh? Faith is excited about the Word of God and about how good God is and about how good His plan is. Unbelief is unconvinced. Remember we talked about yesterday, if you come to God, you got to believe two things. What are they? You got to believe that God exists, that He is, and that He's God. Of course, if He exists and He's God, He knows everything.
Amen.
He can do anything.
Yes.
So you have confidence in His existence, in His ability. But you can't stop there. You've also must believe He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. And so if you know that God's the kind of God, this has to do with the character of God. He's the kind of God, He's a good Father. He wants to see His child do well and enjoy well. And when you reach out to Him, He's just loaded with good benefits that He wants to get to you and across to you and in your life and in your hands, not just for yourself, but for so you can help other people. Right? So you can have such great abundance. Most people do not believe that. I'm pausing for effect. Most people do not believe that. They don't. They believe it's all up to God, and we just don't know why, and that a lot of this lack and is trying us and developing our piety. We don't understand it. We don't know why. So they don't believe in the goodness of God. They just do not. And what happened in this next passage is what did them in. It finished them off. This had been building for some time. Remember we talked about this earlier. He told them, don't save the manna. They saved the manna. Don't go out and try to get it today. They did try to go get it today. And I mean, it wasn't just the manna thing. It was like this all the time. Just defiance, rebellion. And it wasn't a simple mistake. Oops, I didn't understand what you said, Lord. No, it was a lack of trust. They didn't trust Him enough to do what He said. And now they have come face to face with the biggest one. He said, I've given this to you, and it is wonderfully good, and it's yours, and it belongs to you. Go get it. And they said, no, it's not. It's not ours. It's not good. It won't be ours and for us to have a good life and live in it. It'd be for us to die in. And the Bible said they slandered the good land. They brought up an evil or bad report. They called evil what God said was good. Millions are doing this today. Millions are doing this today. Healing is good.
Yes.
Y'all with me or not?
Yes.
I mean, no qualifying statements or exceptions. Healing is good every day of the week. Yes. Is that right?
Yes.
Healing's good. Period. Sickness is bad. It's never good. Sickness is bad. Disease is bad. And yet, how many church-going people are will try to tell you that God's working out something in your life good through this disease or through this sickness, or it may not be God's will for you to be healed or not now or any of these things. Now, see, they're calling evil good, and they're calling good evil. And the scripture forbids this. It warns us about this. In Amos, he talked about this. He said, woe unto him. This is, you don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 5:20, he said, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Woe to them that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It will cost you if you do that. Having a nice place to live is good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If people want to judge you and find fault for it, that's their problem. They're calling something good bad.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
Living in hand to mouth, being afraid you're going to get kicked out on the street every other week is not good.
Right.
I said it's not good. Right. Losing everything you got is not good. Period.
Yes.
Having a good way to go, having something good to wear, having something good to eat. These are good things,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Nothing to be ashamed of, and yet people judge it, people mock it, especially if it gets beyond a certain level or beyond a certain amount. They're calling good things, nice things, evil and bad, and in so doing, they disqualify themselves from it, just like these people did, and they never had it. If you speak against it, and you judge people in a bad way that have it, you judge yourself unworthy of having it, and you'll never have it. Not me.
Not me.
I said, not me. If somebody's got way beyond what I've ever had, I'm going to say, hallelujah. good for you. Is that right? Good on you. And in so doing, I can qualify for it myself. Well, our time's up again. We'll see you next time here in Faith School.
I've got a victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.